Greetings, this is the Automatically Deleted Husband, and I'm a very confused fellow. I have a lot of things on my mind, and I really don't know. I have too many questions going on because I don't know. You know, it's from the Psalms, teach us to number our days, and give us a heart of wisdom and so forth. Because I understand, you know, in a couple of weeks, I find it fascinating. I meet the 2/3 of a century mark. And there's only a certain amount of time left, and there's only so many things I can do. And I'm confused, you know, because obviously I spent a lot of effort in the last few days on this, MTOI, group, when I was at the farmer's market, I wasn't there that long today. But obviously I didn't see these gentlemen, but you know, that's an investment of time. And I don't know if it's the good investment of time. I guess maybe it's one thing to, if it's put in front of you, it's another thing to pursue it, because there's so many other things to pursue. And I think I was kind of reminded about that today, when I left the farmer's market, walked by Miss Lillian's house. I didn't see her there, so I was about to walk on. And I heard faintly what I thought was a voice. And I kind of looked around, and then I heard again, John, way in the distance. And there she was, several hundred feet away, coming down the street. And so obviously I actually went across the street to meet her, you know, roughly halfway, and spent over an hour with her. And you know, that, I think there's no question in my mind. I must do that. This is not something, it's not something that pays well. It's not something that, but when I look at her, a 93-year-old lady, and I see what happens to her face when I interact with her, it's kind of like, I have to do this. I have to do this. If I'm going to claim to be a follower of Christ, I have to do this. But then there's some other things on the table. I think about, because every once in a while, and I think it was yesterday, the day before, I saw another report on Shireen Abdul-Akleh, the journalist for Al Jazeera that was killed in Jerusalem? Was it Jerusalem? Or anyway, that area. She works for Al Jazeera. I mean, like, worked for them for like 25 years. And Al Jazeera has issues. She is a Christian. And so I think that puts an interesting dynamic on it, because Al Jazeera isn't. You know, and it gives me a struggle in the sense that Al Jazeera is, you know, I've watched, you know, for example, I've watched reports on Ukraine from, well, typically it's either RT, an independent reporter, or Al Jazeera. And for example, recently on the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, I watched the same raw video used by both, and you see they were slightly different edited, because it was an interview with the nuclear IAEA group head, whatever, and they had the same interview and edited slightly different, and it gave a different connotation, which, you know, and Al Jazeera is really good at that. They're really good at that, because they can take one thing that's said and give you a completely opposite message from it. I mean, they do that extremely well. But they show often the video of when Abdul-Akleh gets killed. And what you typically see is kind of like the moment later, because there's a person with a camera coming up, kind of around a corner, and you see she's laying dead on the ground. My initial understanding that she was alive for a while, got to the hospital, died at the hospital. Now apparently she was dead on the ground there. And there's a woman standing next to her. And when I look at Abu Akleh, I feel, well, okay, she's dead. I don't feel any concern for her anymore in the sense that there's nothing you can do for her. Her family, the people around and so forth, yes. But her, I mean, she's dead. But the woman standing next to her, I see the expression in her face, not very clearly. But you see it. And you see that, I don't know what to do. I'm with this person. We're doing our job. And she's laying dead next to me. What do I do? And there are people shooting at us, at me now. And, you know, if you see the longer version of that, there's someone who goes kind of like a wall behind her and helps her get over that wall. But what I'm finding is Abu Akleh's dead. Fine. Nothing he knew. But I feel it's emotionally wrenching to watch this woman. What do you do? And I think about people like that. And it's not what side of the issue you're on. Because that's why I want to look at people, and because the obvious thing is Ukraine right now. Even though there are wars happening all over the place. But it's not that you pick the Ukrainian side or the Russian side. There are people like this woman. What do I do? It's happening in Myanmar, in Kashmir, in Pakistan, in Central African Republic, in there's problems in Nigeria. There are problems in I've kind of lost it on South America, but I know there are issues there, but. And Serbia, I think, seems to be building up again. But it's those individuals. And my struggle is, I can only do so much. And I believe as a follower of Christ, I'm called to love. If these gentlemen from MTOI, if they come in front of me again, I need to love them. I need to point out the fallacy. I mean, I think as far as I need to go now is I need to stop with the idea that, look, there's a distortion on the John 14:6. There's a distortion on Exodus 18. It's easy to see. You want to argue the Matthew 23? Understand that the arguments that are coming are someone who blatantly distorts other things. You can see in the email that he used a Titus and Timothy passage to say, we don't do these foolish stuff. He misused that. And as I described, so you can see a wall being put up there. And I don't know if there's any point. I did what I did over the last few days. And I wonder if that's enough. Unless it comes back up. But there are things that I can do and things that I must do. And, you know, there are the things, because something else came up. There are the things about the people who are censored. You know, I have this concern about Christianity versus Islam, in the sense that I want to put on the table the tools to allow people to have a, I know this is an unfriendly word, rational dialogue. And so I know how to do that. I just need to do it. And it's not a 5-minute process. It's going to take an investment of some time, and I only have a certain amount of time. Because some people will take that difference, and it's not just simply, I think you're wrong. It's you're going to die. And there are things that can be done to perhaps mitigate, at least for some. And that was more directly set on the table again. Not a news report, but directly to me. So I'm really struggling with this. Dealing with a cult. If I'm a person who, and again, I'm trying to reason this through. If I'm a person who believes that the Lord is sovereign, that I can't tell who belongs to him, then I need to, whoever's in front of me, love them, which is consistent with loving your enemies. But I have a certain amount of time. Is where do I, you know, it's the difference of something coming to me. Miss Lillian saying, hey, John. When that happens, that's the focus. I'm not going to say, you're not worth my time. I spent over an hour with her today. When I'm at the farmer's market, if I meet these young guys again, I'll invest the time in them. But I don't know if I need to pursue them. When I'm at the farmer's market, especially right now on Tuesdays and Thursdays where they hardly get any business, a common thing that's said, sit down and stay a while. You know, they don't say that at Walmart. At least I assume they don't because I haven't been there years. But that's an invitation. But in the case of Massillion and in the case of the farmer's market, in case of these guys, the MTY thing, that's not where my gifts, I think, lie. Yes and no. I think I can engage them theology-wise. Obviously with Miss Lillian, all I need to do is give her time. Just give her an ear. It's all you need to do is give her an ear. And that's love. In the case of these two young guys at MTOI, I need to rashly engage them on scripture. But I don't know if I have to run after them. But there are people in the world dying. You know, I can't save them. But I can be a blessing potentially to some. And just like when Miss Lillian says, hey, John. When somebody else says to me, effectively, hey, John, in reference to what I've been striving to do for years. The problem is the resources, the focus, and it is so time consuming. You know, I'm trying to do a technology thing to be a blessing to somebody. But I'm trying to find a face for this, somebody who will, you know, potentially the non-technical person. But everybody I've talked with is too scared. But then I'm invited in. It's a struggle. But there is one good piece of good news. There's the possibility I won't leave a call tomorrow because, and I beat everybody to the punch, I hope. tomorrow is Chris's birthday, so I already wished him happy birthday. The odds are strong that he's coming down here to Cleveland to pick me up. We're going to go and, you know, these have served me well. The heels are going again. The soul is base. It's okay. Well, no, it's lost its tread. So it's not punched through, but the tread is gone. So it doesn't give me that. But, you can see it's not straight anymore. This part is getting weak. This is over 2 years old and well over 2,000 miles on them. 2,000 aggressive miles. And there's a real possibility, it's not guaranteed, but there's a real possibility I get new boots tomorrow. If that happens, I will be more than pleased. They have served me well. But it's time. It's time. Anyway, and there's a place that we may hike there in Chattanooga. But anyway, so there may be an investment of time there, which may get me late. So I might miss a phone call, or I might say, just simply say, hey, I still exist and I'm still trying to reconcile my family. So bottom line, I'm really struggling. I did have a dialogue with Chris today, and in trying to look at the scripture on the cult issue, because it's not a simple question, because there's so many derivations and things of that nature. The why bother? It's really a problem. When somebody at the farmer's market says, I want to talk to you, and there are a bunch of them, especially Saturday when we have the additional vendors, there's a whole lot of people, you know, speaking of like old ladies, there's an older lady, I think she's also a widow from Thailand. We have a pleasant relationship. A little bit of a language issue and so forth, but there is, you know, I've met a man there because it's a rarity, but he was there several months ago selling beef, and you know, sold out, and apparently he has another animal he's slaughtering like now, so it'll be early October, and he said he'll have meat again. And he was there at the farmer's market a week or so ago, about to leave as I was coming in. He saw me come in, you know, as he's going to his car. He stopped and approached me, you know, and so it's kind of like, and said, you know, he's going to be back. And I'm known. It's a place I'm known. I meet a lady at Publix. Basically, everyone there doesn't know me. Except one lady. And it's always, hi, John. And I respond with, hi, Jean. It's because, you know what I mean? and I think part of the bond there is that when they required their employees to wear masks, she was there. She had the mask around the ears, but the bottom strap was loose. So it was basically just hanging in front. It wasn't strapped down under the chin. I think she did a little snip, snip in order to make that work. And, you know, I kind of sense from that, you know, she may be as much of a tyrant as I am. But, you know, that's about as far as our dialogue has ever gone is typically the hi, John, the hygiene. But it's been a pleasant interaction. But, you know, again, Miss Lillian wants to talk with me. This is unambiguous. MTOI doesn't, it appears. So many others, when I talk about various things, they don't want to talk to me, whether it's theology or technology. But there are a few who we might say, I don't want to talk to you, or I don't know how to talk to you, but I want what you do. And I'm trying to work that through. Because I'm well aware that there are very particular situations, including particular situations that I know some details about, where it's an inconvenience issue or life or death. And my problem is I see my weakness. I see my weakness in struggling with why bother. And it is a struggle. It's a really big struggle. You know, I think a lot about, I need to find the video again, because I remember listening to an interview with a lady in Egypt. I've mentioned this before. Who talked about her husband, who was one of the people in that orange jumpsuit beheaded by ISIS. And her joy in the sense that her husband did not deny Christ. He went to his death claiming, I follow Christ. Those things still happen. You know, I've talked about the Kaiser Kurios. That was it right there. In reality. And he was beheaded because he would not deny Christ. And this was only a year or two ago. So, I mean, that's happening a lot. for some time trying to figure out how to link things together, how to make things, where one thing leads to another, it's the search versus browse mentality that I've talked about. So I've been playing with some stuff. And of course, if you go to kozlowski.org/wall, which I've had links for, and I'll try to remember the link there, I have three pages that show this wall, that wall, and this wall, because they're now full of photos. And so it's the overall photo, and then you can click on specific photos and get that particular photo, and in some cases, some related information. So if you go to the sidewall, there are three pictures of Oleg Melnikov. What I have is from there a link to a voicemail of June 14th, 2021, titled "His Attacker's Still Walking Free," which talks. I mean, his picture is right there. And what I'm doing now is, again, I don't have time for this, trying to link these things together. So the pictures and the fact that they're on my wall is linked to the voicemail and back and forth. And the title for that day was Video for Walter and Zadok, Details on His Attacker is Still Walking Free. I just listened to it a little while ago, because it's, like I say, over a year old, and it was reminded. I respect this guy, this is someone I would suggest has the same struggles I do. Because he's striving to do something difficult and has had some success. Again, at the time, I have the picture of him. The picture of him. What I'm doing is, where I found out about him was from RT. There's a 15-minute, 10-minute, well, I got it right here. It's a 8-minute video, 8.5-minute, 9-minute video. So it's very short, and I'm moving it to Kozlowski.org. So it'll be Kozlowski.org/RT-2011-06-13+1. And I'll link it because when I saw it that day, and see, I'm finding I'm getting a lot more emotional than I used to be. The image that is so very important, and it's on my wall, is he standing there next to another other man. And again, the important thing I mentioned in the voicemail, he's not going after the premium people, the people who are nice and pleasant, and he's going after what I think you would call the dregs of the earth, because they have been destroyed because of the... Maybe they were beforehand, but made even worse because of the slavery they were involved in. And the image I have, since 2011, Alternativa has freed 1,400 people. And the irony of this was shortly before this... I wasn't prepared. I didn't make any notes. So I just, shortly before this, I did that, series, the foundation series. One of them, I'm going to bring it up here. I did, on May 6th of 2020. So about a year before. Foundation, and drop it to stace, enslaver. And I described, and one of the pictures I was going to put on my wall is the picture there, and I forgot. A picture of a young girl in the Ivory Coast, enslaved. But I did that, and I mentioned at that time, as a follower of Christ, you wouldn't get involved in the slavery issue. And then on it was June 22nd of 2020, I corrected myself. I did a video that said, seriously, go buy a slave. And, you know, obviously the pro-life thing has been a real big issue with me from the beginning. Slavery has become very much, it's, I would say, a secondary issue, but a strong issue. And it's not just black-white thing. A whole lot of slaves, and I think perhaps the majority, are not black today, even back then, you know, in the U.S. But the idea, go buy a slave. It's seriously, well, I think it's, yeah. I have it written here in big font. Go buy a slave. Encourage him. Draw him near. Set him free. Tell no one. The point of that is go buy a slave. And, you know, I use the example of the open-air slave markets in Libya, which apparently, last I heard, because I heard a report about it maybe a month ago, still there. Encourage him. Parakaleo. Call him near. So that's why the next line is draw him near. So the objective is not to go buy a slave to use him, but to encourage him. Because you have some rebuilding to do. That's what was sent. And then set him free. You're not buying a slave to make him your slave. You're buying a slave to set him free. And the objective in setting him free is not to say, good luck, but I'm going to invest in you. And my point was, you don't do this in large numbers. Oleg Melnikov does it in large numbers. But apparently he gets people, apparently houses them for a while, and then gets them to a place to back to family or people who love them. But the other idea was tell no one. Because I do think the objective is not to do it like Oleg does, where you do it, you know, thousands. But you do it to someone where you can invest time with. I don't go after a whole bunch of widows. I go after Miss Lillian. Because I have a relationship now. And it's not just to, you know, a check mark, but to build a relationship. Because the relationship is where the value is. So in the slavery thing, it's the same thing. I don't think it's my personality at all, but I want to encourage somebody who it is. My personality is somewhere else. I will engage people on theology. And in the last week, I had one major, one minor issue that had been dragging on for months within Shofar Nexus. And this week, they're done. Kind of like, oh, thank you, Lord. But I have two more steps to get to the point where I can hand people. Here's this domain system that could be a rather powerful, provocative tool. And here's the email thing. It's yours to do email lists, email server, whatnot. And it's a little different. But the point then is I need to explain it. And I've been trying to figure out a way of doing a bunch of short videos and articles on Shofar Nexus to explain this is a particular part of technology in general, why communications and so forth. Technology specifically, how it's done within Shofar Nexus. And technology specifically, how this technology is used to spy on you, to control you. And that'll be provocative. That's what I have to do. I am really struggling. But Lord willing, tomorrow I'll go get new boots. And that won't be a struggle. And take a hike. Maybe a few miles. Maybe a lot of miles. Engage a friend, a brother in Christ. And we go deep in theology. And sometimes we get just silly. You know, you need both. Share a meal, face to face. And encourage him as he encourages me. That'll be a joy. I anticipate that as happening and being a joy. Happening or not, it's happened before, and I know it's a joy. I want to do that with my own family. I want to do that again with my wife. Because, you know, that lady there. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore. Oh, yes, and over there. The one that said, Dottie Jane loves John. John still loves Dottie Jane, beyond question. I miss you terribly. My lady, I love you and I want you back.